some different kind of stuff today. We're going to let Christy come up and share the fruits of her trip to Rio. It wasn't on the beach, right?
One day.
There you go. Miss Christy.
Hello, guys. How are y'all this morning? Bon dia. That's Portuguese for good morning. Oh, gosh, guys, like, I got some stuff to share with y'all. Like, amazing stuff. Like, spiritual warfare hit last night, so I've been, like, battling all night and all morning, and it's all good because when you know who your king is, like, none of that phases you. It's really awesome. So the way I'm going to start is they sang a song this morning, and so the scripture came to me. It's Psalm 42:7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And that's like totally what happened to me over there. Like, it was amazing. So let me get this thing going. So I called it Mission Rio 2017 just because, you know, the mission was to go to Rio. And so what we're going to start with is if you guys will open. Actually, let's pray first. Father, we just thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for your beautiful creations. Thank you for the babies that have been birthed in this church. Thank you for the many births that you're doing amongst the people, Father. I just pray that you continue to pour out into our lives, Lord, that your waters would just flow over us, that your waves would crash down upon us so that we can take this water to all the others that need it, Father. Holy Spirit, just speak, Lord, just speak to the hearts of everybody. Speak to my heart, and as you continue to just pour out. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So the first reading is Ezekiel 47. And starting in verse 1, I know that sometime last year we kind of went over this. So I only put the last verse on there because that's kind of the big one. But if you guys will follow along, I'm going to read starting in verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." Amen. So this last verse is totally what happened over there. So there were over 80 of us in this place, and they were from 17 different nations total. So it was, like, really awesome. Praise and worship was so amazing. And so, you know, unity, we've talked about unity, and unity is so important among the body. But what is the fruit of unity? So many different fruits. One of them, though, is that visions, right? We're going to have visions. Well, so many of us had the same kind of visions. And we had a prophetic artist there, and she would paint, usually in the evening service. And so there were several times that after praise and worship, you know, we would finally get to see her painting, and it was exactly what many of us saw. And so the first few times it had to do with water. There was a waterfall, there was a river. And so God was showing us about the water, about the living water that we were going to be taking. And it was pretty awesome. So Many of you know that one of the first places we were going to was the dump. And so this is Jardín Gramacho, which in Portuguese, jardín means garden. But if you look at this place, it's not a garden. It's a trash dump. We weren't allowed to take pictures there, so I Googled and found this one, which is exactly what it looks like. You can see the pigs, and then, like, in the background, those are the actual houses of where the people live. And then this right here is the workers at the garbage. So Jardín Gramacho closed in 2015, but before it closed, I'll give you some specs. It was the length of 15 soccer stadiums, and it was 98 feet high, the amount of trash. At full capacity, there would be 4,000 people working 24/7. So at night, they would have lights for the people to go and work. And basically what they were doing is they're picking through the trash to find recyclables, and then they would fill these tarps, make them into like a cup with recyclable items. And depending on what was the main item at that time, then they would trade them in. So like sometimes PVC would go for 26 cents a full tarp, 26 cents, not per item, per tarp. Glass and things like that would go for like 6 cents per full tarp. And so a lot of times as soon as these trucks would get there, you can see the workers are ready to just start pooling. And so it's a fight as to who can get there. And so you can imagine the violence that has happened there, just craziness going on. A lot of them like eat out of the trash because this is all they have. This is their livelihood. So in order to continue working more, they started to build this village outside of the trash dump. And so this is where they would live, their families and everything. So when they closed the trash dump in 2015, this is their life. This is their home. So what were they going to do? So the government told the companies, they opened a new trash dump and told them, in order for you to leave your waste here, you have to pay $20 a truck, which is, it's really 20 reais, which comes out to like $6.50 for us, U.S. dollars. And so the people said, talked to the truck drivers and told them, no. You keep those 20 reais, and we'll give you money to come and dump it in front of our yards. And so right in front of their doorsteps, they start just dumping out trash. Now, trash over there is not separated out like it is here. So you have rich trash, poor trash, medical waste trash, like everything is mixed in together, just being dumped in front of these yards. And so this village became pretty much trash just on top. So even now, like when we were walking the streets, you didn't see it in the front of their houses anymore. It was mainly all on the side of the houses. And so that's how they're working. They're picking through the trash, trying to get recyclables. And so the smell there is crazy. Well, since we weren't allowed to take pictures, they only took one group picture. So this is all of us. And what we did was when we got there, like the minute we got off the bus, you can smell it right away. Everything, all of your senses are affected, like every single one. And so they take us on this tour, and we're walking through all the streets. And as we're walking, like, the people are curious. You see the gang leaders because the gangs control the streets. And so we're just walking. And then the little kids kind of start to follow us. So we finally get to, like, this middle of this place where we're at right here. And we had one person that took a guitar. So we just started singing praise and worship. It was all in Portuguese, though, because the people there spoke Portuguese. And so as we're standing in this place praising God, some people just kind of started coming out. And so that's one of the first testimonies I'm going to share with you guys. There was a lady, and she came up to the front because they have a base there at the dump. It's Iris Gramacho. And the people there, his name is Marcus. He's the one that runs it with his family. And so she knew Marcus because, you know, they live there. They're on the streets there. And so she came up to Marcus after, and she told him, can y'all please come and pray for my husband? And so she starts telling the story. Her husband used to be a pastor many, many, many years ago. And for about 20 years, he has backslidden. He got heavily into drugs and alcohol. And so then he ends up getting sick. He gets diagnosed with cancer. And then he ends up getting one of the mosquito diseases. At first, they thought it was Zika, but it ended up being dengue fever. And so he's like just laid out in his home. They figure he's just about to die. And so she wants us to come to pray. And he tells her, you know, yes, we'll pray. Well, then, you know, we have a lot of stuff to do. We have to break up into smaller groups. So we do. We go out into the small groups. So one of the teams ends up going to pray for him at the very end of the trip. They go and They go and they pray for him, lay hands on him, casting out, you know, calling out the fever, casting everything out. And then they leave. And so we didn't get to go back till a week later. And the initial plan was that we weren't going to go back. We were supposed to go to one of the slums. They're called favelas. But an incident happened the night before we were supposed to go, and so we could no longer get in. So then we got to go back to the dump, which ended up being an amazing, amazing blessing. So we go back, and that team goes back into the home, and they want to pray for him again and see how he did. And so it was absolutely amazing, the work that they did. I'm going to read this verse real quick. And this is Jesus talking. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And so Jesus tells us that we will do more than what he did. And think about all the things he did, like crazy, mind-blowing things that Jesus did. And yet we're going to do even more? And so, okay, so they talk to, his name is Marcus, the sick husband. So they go back, they check on Marcus and see how he's doing. And this man is cured. He is healed. He is out of his bed. There's no more fever. Like they even said, the atmosphere of the home was so different. And he's just like praising God. So I want you guys to hear his testimony. So, you know, they speak Portuguese, but then you'll hear the English translation.
And he got better. I saw him a little after. I went to visit him another day. So we needed to buy medicine and stuff like that. We prayed more. The school went again and I wasn't able to go. I wasn't there. And I heard he visited him again. And today I'm walking down the street. And I heard my name. And I looked back. He's running.
Amen.
I was so impacted to see him running because he was really bad, like in bed with fever. But nothing compared. When I met him, I said, how are you?
He said, I'm queimando por Jesus voltar para
o
evangelho.
I said, you're
going to have to go with this testimony.
And I brought him here and I thought this is from God.
Amen.
To show my joy with all of you in this afternoon for the Lord.
E estou muito feliz de estar aqui.
I'm really happy to be here.
Juntamente com meus irmãos que eu conheci.
With my brothers and sisters I met.
E os que eu também não conheci.
And also the ones I didn't meet.
Amen.
Que o Espírito Santo de Deus.
And the Holy Spirit.
Possa estar em cada coração.
Maybe every heart.
E estou muito feliz.
And I'm really happy.
Pela minha cura.
For my healing.
E pela minha libertação das drogas.
Amen.
And before this, I'm going to the recovery center. It's
going to
be amazing. Oh, but and I said, so what about this recovery center? I'm free, brother.
Okay, so Marcus, if I know they like cheered a few times that you couldn't really hear it, but he talks about how now he's burning for Jesus. So instead of this fire, this fever inside of him, he's got this fire just burning for the Lord, which he knew this fire before because he was a pastor. He walked with God. And then as he was getting better, the time that during the week that we weren't there, that Marcus on the left would visit him. They talked about like going to a drug treatment program. So then when this is going on, he asked him, well, do you still want to go to this treatment center? And he's like, why? I'm free. I've been delivered from everything. And so not only did our visit and just obedient servants of God go lay hands on him for healing of this disease, like he completely was liberated. And it's like awesome because God can do that, you know? We just have to put all our faith and hope and trust in him. And so there are like so many other testimonies. So in my team, there was 9 of us. And so the second time that we're there, we're going out and revisiting the people we visited the first time. So we go over to this one area, and the lady we were looking for wasn't there. So across the street was a bar, and it was like an outdoor patio type setting. So there were, our team was visiting with one of the gentlemen, and two of our people that speak Portuguese, they felt they needed to go over to the bar. So they go over there, and there's, it's like a, kind of like an L shape or like a horseshoe. And so the bar owner is sitting like on the far side. So I see them over there talking to the bar owner, and they're just, you know, talking to him. And he was like extremely bow-legged. Like I'd never seen anybody this bad. And so he stands up and he's showing them his legs. And then he sits back down and they start to pray. Well, there was a patron that was like sitting kind of across from him on the other bench. And I noticed that when they started to pray for the bar owner, like you could tell that he started to pray. And like, so he puts his head down and he's praying. And then I see him start to do this with his hand. And then he grabs his hand, and then he shakes his hand. And then he's like, you could tell that he gets this big smile on his face. So then when they stop praying, like he gets up and goes over there and he tells them something, and then they like hug everybody and clap. And so they told us later that he knew that they were praying for him to get healed, but he was like, well, why can't I get healed? And so on his own, without anybody laying hands on him, he just started praying for his own hand and he was healed. It was like amazing, amazing. And it reminded me of when in the Bible where it's talking about Peter and how he's going out and, you know, he's doing all these crazy signs and wonders and miracles. And just even his shadow would pass people and they would get healed. And I was like, just imagine like the Holy Spirit is all around us and he's getting healed. It was like awesome. So while this was also going on a couple of houses down, I see this older gentleman and he was all by himself and you could tell he was older and a little more feeble. And he's like, he has this makeshift ladder made it out of like wood sticks, pretty sturdy though. And he's trying to climb on top of his house and carry this big old wooden beam. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? This beam is going to fall on him. Like, we're going to have to rush over there. So I kept kind of watching him. So he just, you know, kept trying. And then he finally just kind of gave up and left it sitting there. And I thought, well, maybe he's waiting for somebody to come help. So at this time, it's time for us to leave because our bus is going to be coming in like 20 minutes or so. So we start to leave and we pass right by him. So I did learn like a little Portuguese. So I told him like, good afternoon. And so he says, good afternoon. And I was like, how are you? And he's like, I'm fine. How are you? So then he starts to talk. And then I can no longer like pick up a lot of the words he's saying. So I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I only speak a little Portuguese. And so he was like, oh, well, it's okay. You know, it's good talking to you. Well, then finally, one of my team members came around the corner who spoke, he was Brazilian, so he spoke Portuguese. So he comes up and I tell him he speaks Portuguese. So then he just starts laying out his life story. I mean, he started from when he was a kid and he just talks and talks and talks. And the lesson for me was that, you know, if we would just sit and listen to people, all they want to do is have somebody to talk to. And so he just, oh my gosh, his story. So when he was little, before he was 8 years old, he thinks, his dad passed away. So then he was left with his mom, but then his mom passed away. And so now he has nobody. And he said that when they buried his mom, that he was like laying at his mom's grave and he was crying out to Jesus saying, please bring my mom back. Please bring my mom back. And he stayed there for days and days. He had nobody else. And so then it started to rain. And so the townspeople came to him and were like, you can't stay here. You have to get up. Like, you have to come. Your mom's not coming back. And so he finally gets up and then he just starts living on the streets because he has nobody. And so you have this little kid who has no schooling. He has no family. He's just living on the streets, eating out of, you know, garbage cans, things like that. And so finally somebody takes him in and they put him in school. Well, they knew his name, but that's all they knew about him. So they had to make up a date of birth for him, make up where he was born, all of this stuff. So automatically his identity was changed. And even to this day, like, he doesn't know his real birth date. And so I told him, he kind of guessed his age, and I told him, well, no matter how old you are, you still look really young, so it's okay. And he was like, yeah, that's what people tell me. And so he just continues to pour out more and more of his story, like what he did, where he went. He was in the military. And then I asked him, well, then how did you end up here? And he said, well, I tried to get into the Navy after the Army. I couldn't because my eyesight was going bad, and so I couldn't get in. And so then I found myself here, and I've been working here for over 25 years. I was like, man, that is a long time. And he was like, yes, but you want to know the secret of the trash? The secret of the trash is that you're going to find value in it. And so he started talking about, like, money he had found, all kinds of amazing, valuable things he found. So, you know, I just would interject little things about God in there, and I was like, yeah, you know, just like God, he finds value in us, even though we have crazy lives sometimes. And so finally, the clock was ticking, and we had to go because we couldn't miss the bus. And so I said, well, can we pray for you? And he's like, yes. And I said, well, what can we pray for? And he said, well, pray for my eyes. So his house, I showed you what the houses look like. So the walls are like cardboard, different signs you would find on the streets. And so on one side of his house, he had, there were some words that were, they were kind of big. They were maybe as big as those letters there. And it was like a fruit stand sign. It said like fruit for so much cents. So I said, can you read that? And he was like, well, it's really hard to read. And he's squinting his eyes. So we pray over him, lay hands on him. One of the guys puts his hands over his eyes, and we pray and we pray and we pray. And then we stopped praying, and we're like, okay, can you try to read it? And he was squinting. He's like, well, it's still kind of hard. So then he started pouring out more about his story. And then we told him, okay, try now. So he tries to read, and he starts to read the letters. So we're like, yes. And so then on the other wall, there were like a lot smaller letters, really, really small letters. So we said, well, can you read these letters? So he's squinting really hard, and he could read the first letter, which was a V, but then he couldn't read anything else. So we're like, okay, let's pray again. So we pray again, and they cover his eyes. We lay hands on him. We're praying, 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 calling out for, like, the cloudiness to go away so he could see. So he opens his eyes, and we say, try again. And he tried and couldn't see. So then he started telling more of his story. So then at this point, our leader's like, we got to go. We got 2 minutes to get, you know, down the street to catch the bus. So we're like, you know, we got to go. Can you please try one more time? And so he looks at the little bitty letters, and he reads every single one. And then he, of course, he praises God because now he can see again. And so it was like so amazing. We will do greater things, guys. We just got to stop and start praying for people. You know, and we pass people every day. Like, we go to the stores. We go put gas in the car. It's not so much about giving them money. Like, it's not about a social service. It's about giving them what we have, and we all have Jesus, you know? He's done something for every single one of us. And so we need to start, like, pouring out onto other people, because realistically, the people aren't going to just come in the door. We got to go to them. You know, that's where they're at. Where did Jesus go? On the streets. Where did the apostles go? On the streets. Yes? They went to the church first, but then they always ended up on the streets because that's where the people's at. Like, they need God. And we didn't go to him and first say, hey, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? We listened. We let him pour out so that we could in turn pour out to him. This living water that's in Ezekiel 47, like, that's the water that God gives us. It's flowing from the temple. And that was one of the visions he gave many of us, that water was just flowing down from heaven. And like, you're here at the altar and you're standing in the water and it's just pouring on you. Like, you're under this huge waterfall, just taking in the water. And then you get filled, and then you fill your cup, and then you take it to give to other people. Well, we're not giving it to people here at the church. We're giving it to people out there because we got to get filled, guys, and we got to stay filled. Like, church isn't a filling station. We should be able to get filled, like, wherever we're at. Our relationship with God should be that we're serving him out there as well, in our homes and studying and learning and worshiping, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. So we need to start just taking that living water where we're at, letting him pour into us every day so that then we can go out and make a difference. So on our day off, Larry talked about a beach. On our day off, we did get to go to the beach one day. And so first we went to the mall because some people wanted to do some shopping and we were trying to find souvenirs. So we go to the mall and we just start praying for people. So then we have to make our way back from the mall all the way to the beach. We're on buses and then we're walking the streets. So we're walking the streets and they want to pray for somebody. So we stop and we start praying for people on the streets. Really awesome. So we're praying and we're like, okay, you know, do you feel any better? Like, how's it going? And she was like, well, yeah, I kind of feel it going away. Like, I feel it a little better. And so we would pray some more. And that was the thing. Like, we wouldn't just be one and done. We would, like, keep praying. And so for most of them, they were getting healed. Well, then we finally get to this one little part of the street. Craziness. Because, you know, the enemy knows what we're out there doing. So we get to this one little part of the street. And I noticed that there was, like, a guy that was kind of watching us. And then when we got done praying for this one couple, this other lady came up to us and she was like, can you pray for us, for me? So we're like, yeah, you know what's going on. She ended up being from South Africa. Well, one of the girls in our group was from South Africa. So they were talking Afrikaans to each other. And so then, you know, she's telling us, here's what she needs. So she knew God. She goes to church in her home, but she's never received the Holy Spirit. So we pray on her to receive the Holy Spirit. She receives the Holy Spirit. So then she's like, well, I want to speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues. So then we pray over her for that. Well, you could tell that it was starting to manifest, but she was kind of like, I'm not sure what this is. And so we told her, just keep praying. Well, she wanted to go with us. So now we have this lady from South Africa joining our group. So we're walking the streets. Well, just a few doors down, this guy that was watching us, he calls us out over there. But I didn't feel like we really should have been there, but we were kind of a large group. So some of them, the Brazilians, went over there. And so they're standing there talking to him, and a few of us were kind of back. And God told us to start praying. So we start praying. And I was like, you know, this doesn't feel right. Well, at that point, like many of you know, my feet were just so swollen and I got so tore up by mosquitoes. But I felt like cigarettes being burned on my feet, both feet. And so then I kind of start picking up my feet as I'm praying. And it wouldn't go away, so I started praying about that. Well, then they were going to pray for this guy. So they called us over there. They're like, come pray with us. We're going to pray for him. So what several of us understood was that he was wanting us to pray for a little girl that was about to be born, which we understood was his granddaughter. So I asked, well, what's your daughter's name? Well, he gave the same name. So I said, so the daughter's going to be born or the granddaughter's going to be born? Well, the other people were like, well, it's his daughter. And I was like, oh, okay, I understood this, so let's pray. Well, then he starts calling us out, and he's like, y'all aren't even united. Y'all don't know what's going on. Y'all should be together. And so right then, we knew that there was something not right with this guy. So the Brazilians were like, well, let's pray anyway. So we went ahead and started praying. So he was like in this doorway, so we pull him out from the doorway. Well, it ended up being a bar area. So as we pull him forward, like most of the people surrounded in front of him, and I felt like I needed to be behind him. So I put my hand on him and I closed my eyes, but then Holy Spirit said, open your eyes. So I opened my eyes. And I just kind of started scanning because the environment just did not feel right. And it wasn't because it was a bar. It was because there was something going on. And so we start praying over him. And I know the Portuguese word for fire. So God has me start praying that word. So the minute I prayed that word, I kept saying it over and over, and it's fogo. I kept saying fogo, fogo, fogo. His hand started shaking. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost shake. So it was the demonic shake. So I was like, this demon is about to manifest right here. And we had, for some reason, some of the other people had, like, knelt down in front of him. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if this guy starts to kick, like, one of our guys is going to get kicked in the face. And so I noticed that some of the other people, too, were kind of feeling unsettled. And so I was like, we need to just end this. Like, stop praying, and we need to go. And I just kept feeling that God saying, like, you need to go. You need to go. And so we finally finished praying, and I'm like, okay, guys, let's go. We need to get to the beach. Like, people are waiting for us there. Let's go. And so it wasn't because, you know, we needed to be at the beach. It's because we needed to be out of there. Well, that whole time, my feet were still burning with cigarettes. So I'm trying to round everybody up, and then I finally get to the last few people, and they're like, well, we have to wait. He wants to give us his address. And I said, why do we need his address? We can't go over there. They're like, well, he lives really close. I said, no, we don't need his address. We need to go. They're like, well, but he's getting it right now. So I look inside the bar, and sure enough, he's like writing on a paper. So finally he comes, gives us the address, and he tried to keep us there. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry, we got to go. So we finally leave. So then when we all regroup, we start talking about it. And several people were having the same thing. So where I was behind him, I couldn't hear everything that was going on in front. So one of the girls, as she's praying over him, she sees this red dragon manifest. And so she asked him, she was like, do you want to renounce this? And he said, no. And at that time was when I started praying about the fire. One of the other girls in her head, she was American, she had started praying, like the Holy Spirit told her fire, so she was praying fire. And then that's when, you know, this demon manifests, but he did not want to let it go. He wanted to keep hanging on to that thing because he wasn't ready. And so we talked about how just, you know, when we're out praying in groups, we need to have a sign to kind of tell each other so that we're all on one accord and one on the same page. Because, you know, when some wanted to keep praying and, like, wanted him saved, but he wasn't ready for that. And so, you know, we need to just be able to make sure we're in communication. But, you know, there's going to be times that demons manifest. We just have to be ready, you know. And that was, this was a crazy story. So, and there's another place in Brazil called Fortaleza. It's about 3 hours by plane north of Rio. This is where I'm praying about going next. So there's a base there, and they started their base in the slums. And so you can't just go into the slums. I said earlier, you have to be invited. And so this guy from England, his name's Andrew, he was from a prominent family, had an amazing job making buku's amounts of money, and God calls him to go to Brazil. So he was like, no, you know, I've got a good life. Why am I going to leave and go and not have a job and not do nothing? So he says no. But then God kept telling him, you need to go, you need to go. So finally he goes. He goes to Brazil. He's walking in the streets, and as his ministry starts to progress, he finally gets invited into the slum. So he's ministering to the people there. Well, the slums are run by the gangs. And so one of the gang leaders sees what he's doing, like he's having activities with the kids, and he's providing meals to some of the families. And so the gang leader comes up to him and says, hey, I see what you're doing, and I think you need a place to have activities in for the kids. So I'm going to let you rent this house. And so he was like, okay, well, let me pray about it. So then he prays, and God tells him to rent the house. So he starts renting the house. Well, then the people of the streets that he's ministering to are like, what are you doing? Like, why are you in that house? And he said, well, he told me that I could rent the house. And they're like, well, the last guy he rented to, he killed, because the guy had a family and they were doing drug deals in and out of that house. And so the man told the gang leader, can you maybe not do drug deals during this time, because, you know, my kids are outside. So the drug dealer shoots the husband, the guy. And so they were like, you know, this is who you're renting from. And he was like, well, God told me to do it. So he's been ministering to this gang leader, like trying to just get him to come to God, and he doesn't really want to hear it. Well, then one Monday morning, the drug leader comes to him and says, hey, I got to tell you something. Something happened last night. And he was like, well, what happened? He said, well, I went to this house because I needed to pick up my money, and there was something in this lady, and I knew it was, like, crazy. So I knew it was, like, a demon or something. So I went to go try to find y'all, but y'all were all at the church. All the Christians were at the church, and I couldn't find any Christians. And he was like, well, what'd you do? And he said, well, I went back to the house because I had to get my money. So I went back to the house, and he said that demon was just going, and it was inside a lady, and I didn't know. So finally I said, I don't know God, but I know he has power, so demon come out of her. So the demon comes out, but it jumped into the next person. So he was like, okay, I don't know God, but I know God has power, so demon come out. So it came out, and it jumped into the next person. So there were four people in the room. That demon ends up inside everybody, and then finally it goes out because there's nobody else to jump into. And so when he's telling Andrew this story, Andrew's like, well, really? So now you know God's power. Are you ready to come to God? Are you ready? And he was like, no, I'm not ready yet. So he leaves. But like a month later, he comes back, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. I just wanted to take care of business. That way I was, you know, free and ready to go. And so he gave his life to God. But it's like, he wasn't a Christian, and yet he cast out a demon. He did it because he said, I know God has power. And that's all it took. And the demons finally got out after jumping around. And it's like, so a lot of us were questioning, like, man, why can't we see that at home? Like, why don't we see that at home? Well, what's the reason? You know, why don't we have revival? We've had revival prophecies for how many years now? Why don't we have revival yet? So I just wonder, like, why are we really ready? Because in revival, it's not all about, like, Christians and us, you know, just falling out everywhere and getting filled all the time and getting visions and revelations. Revival is going to bring in people who have stuff going on. And are we ready to serve that? Are we ready to stop being filled in our little chairs and actually come and start walking in our giftings? Like, are we ready? Because that's what it's going to take. Like, we have to no longer be getting all that food here. We have to just be getting it every day, and then that way we can serve, because it's going to be work, you know? It's going to be work. After they start getting delivered, you know, we've got to start pouring into them, because they're going to need to be able to pour into the next ones and pour into the next ones. So one of the families we prayed for at the dump, she, like, her whole family was sick. They all had, like, throat infections and everything. So we start praying for the family. Well, she never even prayed for her kids. She didn't know how to do this. And so some of the group taught her, well, this is how you pray. And so they had her pray for the kids. Like, and this family was healed. And then another thing that really struck me was that one of the guys that went with us on the first day, he knew the family. So we finally get to this last family that we're visiting. And, you know, there's a line of us. So by the time we get in and climb into this house, the mom is just in tears, like crying and crying. And so we're like, you know, what happened? So they're telling us that she knew him because he was a missionary there. But, like, in the last 3 or 4 months or so, he got moved to Sao Paulo. So he's doing missions there. But he never got to go in and say goodbye to everybody. So she said that he had touched her heart so much that she missed him, and she just thought that he stopped coming, that he didn't love them anymore, and he didn't want to see what was going on anymore. And so they, like, embrace and hug, and she's just crying and crying and crying. So then she finally gets to tell us her story. We pray at the end, and before we pray, he said, I can't pray, like, because he's crying. He's like, I can't pray. I can't even get words out. And so we pray. But what struck me was that relationships are so important. And if you think about it, relationship with Jesus is so important. Like, he's a relational person. When he got his 12, it was about relationship. You know, he formed himself with a family as he's going out. Well, relationships are so important. Like, with us, you know, unity is so important because it's relational. Because we each have something to do. You know, and about the visions, God showed me where many of us were having the same visions. It's because if you think about it, if you want your left arm to do something, your right arm has to be in agreement. Like, your right arm, you're not going to say, I'm going to open this door, but your right arm's going to say, no, I'm going to go out this other door, because they need to be in agreement. Well, when we're united in the body, like, we are all on the same page. We're all thinking the same thing, feeling the same thing. We're all excited about going. We're excited about praying. And so that's where God is telling us, like, his unity is about relationship. Relationship with him first and foremost, and then relationship with others. So I'm going to move on to this next verse. So in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so one, like, key thing here, we all know this. These are, like, the greatest commandments when they ask Jesus. But, like, the second one is really huge. How can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself? If we don't love ourselves, then that's how we're going to treat others. And so, like, a large part of my time there was, like, God just showing me this. And the way he showed me, crazy amazing. So I know a lot of y'all are doing the Song of Solomon study. And so, like, early last year I had gotten a word. And the word, he told me, you need to stay in Song of Solomon. And so I start reading through it, start studying it, and there was just one part I could not at all do. I was like, no. Intimacy, no. Because of the trauma of my past, I did not allow intimacy in. And I was like, no, God, we're not doing this because, no, we're just not going there. I love you. I want you to love me, but I just can't go to this level. And so one of the girls had this book, and it's by Candace Simmons, and it's, I just forgot the title. Yes, I have it there. The Sacred Journey. It's a Sacred Journey, yes, by Simmons. And so she lets me read this book, and it's amazing because it breaks down, like, each verse of Song of Songs. And so where I was stuck was in Songs 4:16. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden that its fragrance may spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. And so I'm stuck here. I can't get past it. And finally, in reading this commentary, it talks about the north wind, and the north wind is that of adversity. And man, I've had a ton of adversity in my life, like ever since I was 5, and huge traumatic incident that happens. So I've had a ton of adversity, tons. But then the south wind is a wind of refreshing. It's where Jesus wants to come in and refresh us and stir up the fragrance so that we can actually be into him. So I just remember that I'm there. It's praise and worship. I'm like battling this with God, like, God, I can't go there. I want to, but I can't. And then one of the girls gets a word from God. So she goes up to read it. And oh, my gosh, it's God just saying, how I long to be with you. Let me in. I want to be intimate with you. And so I finally just lose it, like finally broke through that moment and lost it. And so then God just starts pouring. And I kid you not, if we just let him in, like I can't stop smiling. And like I don't smile in pictures. I don't do any of that. Like you can look at all my beginning pictures in Rio and I'm not really smiling. But the last ones, like I have a cheesy grin that's ridiculous. Like I cannot stop smiling. He, once I let him in, he just like redeemed all this pain. And I can't tell you how many times I fell out on a concrete floor laughing, like just laughing so much that my back hurt. Just those crazy deep laughs. And I mean, I'm falling out and it hurt a few times. Like I had to have them pray for my head because I hit my head really hard one time. I was like, please pray for my head. But it didn't matter because what God was doing. And so finally, what he shows me, God is so good, right? He does the work, and then usually he shows us later. So he finally shows me. We all know the Break Every Chain song, right? Most of us have all prayed it. We want those chains broken. I've prayed it. Lord, I want these chains broken. So this is what God showed me. Before this moment, the reason the chain could not be broken was because I'm inside this rock. So there's this huge rock surrounded me. And I'm tied by chains to the rock. So the chains can't be broken because they're not outside. They're already chained to a rock, which the rock is your shell. So he just starts chipping away that rock, and then he chips away the chains, and then I'm free. And let me tell you, God wants the same for you. Like, he wants you to be free. He wants you to love him. He wants this Song of Songs, Jesus Bride, to be your husband. He wants us to intimately know him so that we can be totally set free, like amazing, crazy free. Like I told you, the warfare this morning and last night, like this morning, ladies, you can probably relate to me. How many times do we change our outfits in the morning? Like a bunch. No, that didn't happen. I was like, I'm wearing this and that's it. And I look good. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, I look good because now I can actually see Jesus in me. Like before I couldn't. You know, so then we're like, is it my makeup right? What about my hair? You know, we like spend an hour just going over what we look like. But God showed me that we are all jars of clay. So what's a jar of clay look like? It looks like clay. So we all look like clay. He is not focused on the outside. He is focused on what's on the inside. Golly, that is like crazy freeing. When we see ourselves as a jar of clay, it doesn't matter if we have like extra pounds or if we have like, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. And when we come to love people, they don't see that. They're not like, dude, you don't look so good. They don't do none of that. They want us to love them. Like that is exactly what they want. And that's what Jesus wants. And guys, we just need to walk in freedom because it's crazy awesome. Like I've been back 2 weeks now and I've had like no road rage, which is crazy. None. Because I've driven in big cities. I love big cities and I'm one of them Zoomers. And like no road rage. No like second guessing what I look like. I'm like, man, you're beautiful because you look like Jesus. Like crazy. Amazing, guys. Like, oh my gosh, I want this freedom for you guys, like this joy for y'all, because it is crazy awesome. Like crazy awesome, guys. So I think I might have one more verse. Yes, one more. Okay, because this is exactly what happened to me. And Larry had given me this verse, and he's used this verse before. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Amen. So this is it, guys. We've all had craziness in life. We've all cried and cried. Like, I've told God, you're probably out of jars collecting all my tears because I've cried so much. But, oh my gosh, the joy is crazy. Like, if I tell you a crazy story about my past, I don't, like, even get affected anymore. it's funny. Like, I laugh because I'm like, man, God's so good. He redeemed that. Like, I had to go through that. It's no big deal because now look who I am. Oh, my gosh, guys, it's so awesome. So if you will stand. And you're going to airplay it? Okay. So if you want to come up to the front, you can. But we're going to play this song, and it is so amazing. And so my prayer for you is that you just let God, like, just give it to him. Get to this intimate level and ask him for the joy. Oh, my gosh, the joy is so fun. Y'all at 6:00.